South Africa's short tour on Algoa FM, reminiscing about the Beacon Isle days. And to reminisce about the FIFA 2010 World Cup South Africa, as mentioned on the line, 10 years down the line, did we, as it turns out, kind of pick the short straw or not? A man in a unique position to at least give us more food for thought is on the line, Dr. Dean Allen, lecturer, historian, and author as well, and regular contributor, as it turns out, happily, to the Garden Route Drive, joins us once again this afternoon. Dean, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good afternoon, Nance. Good to be back.
Good to have you on the line. FIFA 2010 World Cup. Let's start off with some word association, shall we? You've probably been thinking about it a whole lot more than most of us over the years, and we'll find out exactly why in a second. But that particular phrase, FIFA 2010 World Cup South Africa, what's your knee-jerk kind of emotional response to that when you hear that phrase, or your thought process?
I think pride, nation-building, and also probably the word expensive. I think it's a combination of various things, and that's what I've looked to do 10 years on. We're going to look back on Sunday during a talk I'll be giving, and we're going to be reflecting on the legacy of 2010. I mean, we can't believe that it's 10 years ago already. We've all got memories from that time, I'm sure, whether you're a football fan or not. I mean, it just took over the country, didn't it? But there's so many questions still unanswered.
Well, actually, what brings back some memories for me as well, which you may not know, is I was the stadium announcer for all the games in Port Elizabeth at the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium, and it was simultaneously the most exhilarating and most terrifying gig, I think, just given the enormity of it all, the logistics, the split-second timing, given the audience and the whole broadcasting logistics of the thing. It was absolutely mind-blowing, and it's a memory I'll carry with me for a long, long time.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. I was actually one of those games. I was fortunate enough to watch Portugal play the Ivory Coast at that wonderful stadium. But you talk about being a high-profile event. I mean, during our research, we saw that there were 28 billion cumulative views, would you believe, during that month on South Africa alone. So it was a chance of actually showcasing this country. Yeah. So I think all of us, we all had to up our game and make sure we put on a good show during that month.
Yeah, to make sure I got those pronunciations right when I got to the team names as well. Now, you were the lead author and researcher of the 2010 Legacy Report. Tell us about that. What was the purpose of that? What was your involvement in that?
Well, the city of Cape Town, like most of the cities around South Africa, wanted to know, what was the legacy of this? I mean, there was a lot of investment. I mean, not just in the immediate months before the tournament. I mean, we were building up to this for years. I mean, you go back to sort of Thabo Mbeki and his discussions with Sepp Blatter to make sure that we got the 2010 FIFA World Cup. But the interesting thing was that obviously we were left with the bill. So the city of Cape Town wanted to actually, get some results in terms of was this worth it. So what they did, they employed the four main universities in the region, CPUT, UWC, University of Cape Town and Stellenbosch. And I was working at CPUT, Cape Peninsula University of Technology at the time. And I was fortunate enough to be involved in the field work. So we have people on the ground who are interviewing not only tourists and visitors, but also local residents, businesses, both before, during, and after the event. And I was also lucky enough to interview quite a few of the key stakeholders, people like Danny Jourdan. So it was quite an illuminating time, and it was really interesting.
In your experience with all the research and the interviews that you conducted, would you say 10 years down the line, if there is such a creature, the average South African, where do you think the sentiment lies when they think about the FIFA World Cup? Is it positive, negative? Where about in the continuum, to what degree do you think the average South African thinks about when it comes to the FIFA World Cup?
I've often equated the FIFA World Cup, Lance, to a party. Can you imagine? During in the build-up to the party, you're so excited. During the party, it was wonderful. Yeah. But then you're left sort of with the expense and the clean-up. And I think the longer we go on, people tend to forget the euphoria and what it actually did for the nation. Because there's no doubt that this actually put South Africa back on the map. I mean, a lot of my work was to do with nation branding. I mean, we obviously, our international profile was certainly enhanced when it came to this. But the big question, of course, is money. Yeah. The fact that it cost billions and billions of rand to put this thing on. I mean, we're talking about sort of 9 billion rand that was declared just for infrastructure, let alone for stadia and sports development and security and things like that. So, I mean, that's the big sort of the discussion point, whether it was worth that expenditure. But I do believe that, well, spending a lot of time in places like Cape Town and Port Elizabeth, that we have been left with a legacy, even though if in terms of Cape Town, a bus service that works. We've got these iconic stadiums all around the country. Whether they're worth it or not, whether they're being used, is certainly not a it's a point that we need to still, you know, debate. Yeah. I mean, the wonderful Nelson Mandela Stadium there. I mean, I'm sure your listeners down there in PE would question whether that was worth it. Do we get the use out of it? So I think as time has gone on, people remember, you know, what was happening at the time, which was an incredible festival of football, but it did cost a lot of money.
Yeah, so carry on the party analogy, a little like the guests at a wedding reception after the bride and groom have left, they're going to clean up afterwards. But certainly a legacy, and a very visible legacy that has been left behind, whether or not, as you say, it's going to be sustainable and going to be used to the extent that we hope it should be, I guess remains to be seen. Tell us about the chat then. It's coming up on Sunday. It's going to be online. How do folk get involved in that?
Yeah, it's Sunday at 6 o'clock. It's a virtual talk. So whoever you are around the world, around the country, you can tune in. You can get your tickets via Quicket, which is I'm sure people have been using over this sort of lockdown period, or go to my Facebook page, Dr. Dean Allen, author, lecturer, historian, and all the ticket details are there. But as I said, you don't have to be a football fan to enjoy this. I'm going to be going into sort of the findings, a lot of the research. I'm going to try and answer the question: was it worth it? It's going to be a balance argument, but no, we're gonna go back to 2010 and relive that time.
Yeah, certainly, even with the so-called 2020 vision of hindsight, it's certainly not a yes-no answer. Was it worth it? Is it? But yeah, no doubt, some interesting food for thought. So that's 6 o'clock coming up on Sunday. Tickets through Quicket. You can head along to Dean's site as well and get yourself involved in that. Dr. Dean Allen, author, historian, lecturer. Always great to have you on the show, and we look forward to your chat on Sunday.
Pleasure, lads. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Algoa FM.